The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll talk about Disney World's recent price changes. That's coming up on this episode 110 of WDM Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 110. I am fresh off of a one-week trip to Orlando, and I'll talk a little bit about the last part of that on this episode. But I also want to take time today to get into the recent price changes that went into effect just today. This is Sunday, and this is Sunday, October 4th. And I want to just kind of dive into that because it was kind of a surprise and is going to affect a lot of people. So we'll get into that in just a minute. As always, I want to remind you to follow me on social media and WDW Prep School on almost every social media platform, but also a reminder that I have a website. A lot of people, I actually just met somebody this week who said, I listen to your podcast. Is that all you do, or do you have a website? And that the truth is that the website is where most of the work is done. There are literally tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of words on the website, almost every topic you can think of. So just a reminder, if you're typically a podcast listener, to hop over to the website. And if there's something you want to know about, there's a search box right at the top of the website where you can type in whatever it is you're looking for. And hopefully an article will come up that will answer the questions that you have. As always, I will at the end have news, a featured company, and a quick tip of the day. So before we get into the price change stuff, I sort of want to finish out what I had started last time, which was kind of a trip report. So last time I talked about my days at Disney World, kind of went through my thoughts on the different parks and the hotel, Magical Express and all that. But after that, I actually left and went and did a tour of Disney Cruise Line ship. I've never been on a Disney Cruise Line ship, and I've never been on a cruise for Disney Cruise Line. And so it was interesting for me to go and just see the ship in person because I'd always hesitated because of the price and I couldn't quite justify it. It seemed like it was just so much more than every other cruise line. And so then I got to go on the tour and now I really get it. Like, it's just so, so nice. And so I was able to see lots of different kinds of staterooms, including interior staterooms, which I had sort of dismissed. I thought, I don't want to do an interior stateroom. I really want an exterior one that has a veranda, but I really like the interior ones. There were like portholes over the beds where you could, they had a camera that pointed outside. So you sort of felt like you were outside because you could see what was going on. We also went to lots of different kinds of dining rooms, including ones where the ceiling changed according to the time of day. It was, you know, projected, but it was according to the time of day that it was. And they told us things like, if you have young kids and you're in the dining room, they will serve the adults' appetizers and the kids' meals at the same time. And then once the kids are done with their meal, then the people from the kids' club come in and they will take your kids to the kids' club to play while you finish off your meal if you would like to. That seemed that we would have totally done that if it was 10 years ago and we had little ones. What else? The kids' clubs themselves looked like a ton of fun. And the kids wear bracelets in there that look a lot like magic bands so that when you come to pick them up, they can easily locate them within the kids club area. And just the movie theater, they show first runs of movies, including, you know, if a movie just is coming out, then they will premiere it on the boat. So like it, you know, just after midnight, then you can watch the movie for the first time. During the Super Bowl, they have the rights to show the Super Bowl game right on the ship. I think they're the only cruise line that has fireworks. They figured out a way to do fireworks in a way that's not harmful. When they fall into the ocean, it's not harmful to the fish. And so they do fireworks. I mean, it's just incredible. I couldn't believe the feeling of luxury and the attention to detail. It was fantastic. So I'm actually booked on a cruise for next year and thinking about and that one's like sort of work related with, you know, for like a conference, but I'm thinking about booking one for our whole family too. So the time and money spent on, you know, the cruise is going to pay for itself. The tour of the cruise ship is going to pay for itself because I am hooked. I just think it's a fantastic opportunity. And hopefully next year I'll be able to tell you about my own experiences having gone on an actual cruise. But so that was fun. And then I hopped over to Universal for the last part of my trip. And that was for a conference. So some of the days were spent in meetings and not necessarily just doing like a normal Universal trip, but we were able to tour every resort. There are 4 resorts there and another one on the way. I've stayed at 2 of the 4, Portofino and Hard Rock, which are considered the 2 nicest on site at Universal. Really, I love both of them. Hard Rock is the closest to the parks, and so it's easy to walk back and forth from there. The other ones, you could walk, but it's a little bit further away, but they do have water taxis and buses. Hard Rock is a lot louder than the others, which are much more quiet. The one that I was the most interested to see was Cabana Bay, which is sort of their new kind of value resort, but it's so well themed. It was the one I was the most excited to see it, and it didn't disappoint. So I think if I was going to stay on site next time, I might check out Cabana Bay. One of the biggest drawbacks of Cabana Bay is that you don't get express passes like you do at the other resorts. But Universal is fairly easy to tour even without express passes. It just doesn't have usually the kind of lines that Disney World does, especially if you're able to do single rider lines. They have lots of single rider line options there. So I think I would do Cabana Bay. It's kind of like Art of Animation in that it is a nice value and super well themed. And they also have rooms that accommodate 4 people and suites that accommodate 6, just like Art of Animation does. The price point is lower, which makes it a good deal, I think. And they have a lazy river out in their pool area, and there's a bowling alley there. The food court's really, you know, nice, and we ate there actually. We had lunch there the day that we were touring the resort. So that was all fantastic. Then we spent lots of time in the parks, of course, and I've done Universal once a year for the last few years, so none of it was new to me except the raptor encounter, which the dinosaur ride at Animal Kingdom is legitimately terrifying to me. I've never taken a ride photo on dinosaur where I wasn't covering my face, and I always know it's coming, and I'm still scared. So the raptor encounter is sort of like a character meet, sort of like you're meeting with this dinosaur, but the dinosaur is in its kind of caged area, and I don't know how it works exactly, but it's very interactive and it does get up in your face, and it's very loud, and it was a little bit terrifying. I kind of kept my distance, but anyway, I posted a video of that on the Facebook page. I'll link to it in the show notes if you want to see what the raptor encounter is like. But that was fun to see. Anyway, so overall, really like Universal. People often ask me if they should add Universal onto their trips. If I personally add it on about once a year, which for me is about once every 4 trips, because it's just not nearly as big and not as much to see, but it's fun to do. It's a lot more intense than Disney World. So anyway, I do recommend it, especially if you have Harry Potter lovers in your family, and especially if you have bigger kids that are willing to ride the thriller rides. I think you'll definitely get your money's worth in that case. So anyway, Universal was really fun, and then I came home, and Disney has been keeping us busy this week because they have done lots of things that have required some work. So as soon as I got home, I started working on changing Downtown Disney references to Disney Springs references, and now I'm going to talk today about some of the other changes that have come up. So I will just take, I guess this would be a great time to dive into that because this is what I've been doing all weekend. All right. So Disney just surprised us, or at least surprised me, because I hadn't heard these rumors, and they changed the prices on several things. And so I want to go through those. The first thing is that they changed the annual pass holder level. So you can get annual passes at Disney World. And they changed the names of the levels, and they also changed the prices and the perks that are included with those. So if you are outside of Florida, the choices are relatively simple because you either can get a Platinum Plus Pass or a Platinum Pass. And those are the only 2 options unless you're a Florida resident. Both of those passes give you admission to all the parks. They include parking. You get Magic Bands with that. And if you get the Platinum Plus, you can also go to the water parks, Oak Trail Golf Course, and ESPN Wide World of Sports. But the one thing that's new on both of these now is you also get PhotoPass downloads, which is fantastic. It's not 100% clear how this is going to work, but it does sound like it is going to be sort of the same thing as Memory Maker, which lets you download all your photos digitally, including ride photos and things like that. So that's a really nice perk of the these two levels of annual pass that I'm actually really excited about, because I often think about getting Memory Maker and then can't quite justify it, especially when you go, you know, several times a year, that you have to do it every time for the most part. So anyway, that is now included with those two levels. The prices did change a bit, although I have to tell you, I don't think they're too bad, especially if you consider that the PhotoPass option is there. Then if you're a Florida resident or if you are a DVC owner, then you have other options, including the Gold Pass, Silver Pass, Weekday Select, and going to Epcot after 4. I did create a chart that sort of compares all the different options and shows you what is included. But basically, almost all those allow admission to all 4 parks, except for the Epcot after 4, which is only Epcot. Parking is included with all of them. Magic Bands are included with all of them. Most of them have block out dates, so you can't use them during the peak busy times in the parks. The Gold Pass is the only one of the Florida resident or DVC passes that does include the PhotoPass downloads. And anyway, so I will link that in the show notes. So that's the annual pass. And you might be thinking, well, I'm not an annual pass holder. I don't go all the time. But I actually do have an article about why you might want to consider an annual pass, even if you're only going once. And the reason is that you can take advantage of annual pass holder discounts on hotels. You can get free parking with annual pass, even if you're not staying on site. You have the option to buy tables in Wonderland, which I will discuss in a minute. So there are some good reasons. And only one person in your family has to have it in order to take advantage of all of the perks. So it might make sense for one person to get the annual pass and the other 3 to get regular park tickets. You'll just have to do the math and see. If you happen to be planning more than 10 days in the parks, it usually makes sense to go ahead and get an annual pass, because at that point you are financially better off to have the annual pass versus the park tickets. So, and frankly, I think 10 days is the maximum in the United States anyway for park tickets. So anyway, that's sort of some thoughts on annual pass, even if you don't want to go as often as like I do. The next thing that changed is the regular parking prices went up. They were $17 per day, and now they are $20 per day. And you only have to pay on-site parking once. If you park at Magic Kingdom and then you want to go over to Epcot and drive over there, you just have to show your receipt. It's $20 per day on-site. But if you're staying in an on-site resort or if you have an annual pass, you do not have to pay parking. It's included with your on-site stay or your annual pass. The other thing that changed is valet parking is now $25 per day. I really like valet parking, especially if you happen to have a dining reservation at a resort near one of the parks. You know, I think I've mentioned this a couple of episodes ago, where if you are, for instance, having Chef Mickey's breakfast at the Contemporary, you could tell them you want to valet park, and for $25, you can be there all day. And then you can walk over to Magic Kingdom. And then at the end of the day, your car is at the Contemporary as opposed to all the way over to the regular parking lot. The same is true for some other areas like the Beach Club, which is a 5-minute walk from Epcot. So I sort of like valet, but just you have to have a reservation there in order to use it. You can't just randomly show up and say, I'd like to valet park. They'll double check your name on their list that they have of dining reservations to make sure that you have a good reason to be there. But I think even at $25 a day, I think it's a pretty good deal just for convenience. The other thing that went up in price was tables in Wonderland. And this is something that you can only get if you're a Florida resident or you have annual pass or you own DVC. And what it does is provide discounts on food and alcohol. And so even though you have to purchase it, it often saves you much more than the cost. And again, this is another thing you have to do the math on. But the price is now $175 for Florida residents, and it's $150 if you have an annual pass or if you're a DVC member. There are some blockout dates when you cannot use Tables in Wonderland. I will link to the full list of places that you can use the Tables in Wonderland discounts in the show notes, because you know you need to double check that the places you're eating are the places that actually do have discounts available. So it can be a really great thing. And one thing that's included with Tables in Wonderland is valet parking. So at $25 a day, that is a pretty good deal. If you plan on doing valet parking more than just a couple of times, that might make sense. But again, you can only get tables in Wonderland if you have annual pass DVC or you're a Florida resident. So those were sort of the price changes that just happened this weekend. Now, I have to say that none of these really bother me personally too much, but Disneyland is a whole other story. It is a major, major change out there, and the prices just went way up. I mean, I think they're even on level of Disney World prices, which is so crazy considering the size difference and between the two parks and the amount of construction that is going on at Disneyland because of the new Star Wars addition. So that's pretty major. I was thinking about getting the annual pass, the premiere that would allow me to do Disneyland and Disney World soon because I've done multiple trips to both this year. And I thought, okay, next year I should just go ahead and splurge on that since I'll probably keep doing that. And now I'm kind of rethinking it because it's so expensive. So anyway, Disneyland's a whole other story. There's a lot of changes at Disney World, but none that I think are too upsetting, especially when you consider that the PhotoPass downloads are included with Annual Pass, which is a new perk that we didn't previously have. So anyway, that wraps up those changes. As always, feel free to ask questions in the show notes on the website or by email. Let's talk about some news, some things that happened other than the news, other than these price changes. There's other news that happened this week. One thing is that the movie The Good Dinosaur, I believe it opens at Thanksgiving, but they're going to start previews of The Good Dinosaur beginning on October 16th at the theater inside One Man's Dream. So One Man's Dream is in Hollywood Studios, and it's sort of it's generally just an exhibit that kind of shows the history of Disney, and most of it is like a museum that you can walk through and read and look at pictures and things like that. But then there's also a theater, and it's in that theater that they're going to be showing previews of The Good Dinosaur beginning on October 16th, and that goes through December 4th. Interesting thing about that is that they've been showing previews in the Captain EO theater at Epcot. Every time they want to show a preview, they just pull Captain EO out and put in the preview. But this time they're doing it in One Man's Dream. It's not clear what this means about One Man's Dream, although we have been speculating for a long time that One Man's Dream is going to be going away. So this could be a sign that, you know, it is dying a slow death. But apparently on December 5th, they are bringing back the One Man's Dream movie. So we'll see what happens after that. The second thing that happened this week is that Disney shut down. This happened in the last couple of weeks, that Disney shut down the dining alert systems, including WDW Table Finder, which I've talked about here on the podcast before. I had actually just had drinks with the person who runs WDW Table Finder, and he hadn't been asked to shut down at the time that I met with him, but another service had. And then sure enough, a couple of days later, he heard from Disney and they asked him to shut down as well. I personally I'm very disappointed in this because I think that the alert systems were lumped in with the scalpers and they were all asked to shut down. And I think that was throwing the baby out with the bathwater, kind of unnecessary, but that has happened all within the last 10 days or so. The next thing is that Duffy, who previously appeared at Epcot, is now officially gone and no longer meeting at Epcot. So if you were a Duffy fan, you will have to mark that one off your list for your trip because he's not there anymore. Rafiki has begun meeting people today at Magic Kingdom, and that is in Adventureland near Sunshine Tree Terrace. So if you want to meet Rafiki, you can do that now at Magic Kingdom. I mentioned earlier, Downtown Disney is now officially called Disney Springs. That change went into effect on September 29th. So now I'm in the process of updating all references to Downtown Disney to be Disney Springs. Morimoto Asia, the new restaurant in Disney Springs, is now officially open, and I can't wait to try it. It opened just after my time at Disney World, so I didn't get to try it out this time, but I hopefully will when I'm back in a month. And finally, Pecos Bill's, which is a quick service restaurant at Magic Kingdom, was briefly closed and reopened with a completely new menu. They've always been known as like a burger place with a big fixins bar, but now it's more like Tex-Mex And so the menu there is completely different. And so we'll have to see how that goes over. I know people sort of liked it, the burger options that they had, but maybe we will also get used to the new menu as well. So that is what happened this week in news. So this week's featured company is a company that sells park tickets. It's called Park Savers. And I have been approached by different ticket companies to partner with them. And I never would because they couldn't offer deals that I felt comfortable passing on to my listeners or to my readers. So when they emailed me and said, what do you think about partnering about, you know, and for tickets for the parks, I said, here's a list of all of the most popular sources for tickets and the prices. You're going to have to beat this if you can. And so they came back and said, done. And so they have been able to do that. They have, in many cases, reduced their prices below what they would normally sell them just exclusively for WW Prep podcast listeners and website readers. So the way that Park Savers tickets work is you buy them through my link. If you go through their public link on their normal website, you'll get higher prices. So if you go through my link, then you can get them at the reduced prices. And then you will get an email with your ticket. So you don't have to wait for them to ship it. You don't have to pay shipping costs or anything like that. They're emailed. And then you can immediately link those tickets to your My Disney Experience account and make FastPass reservations whenever your window opens up. Then when you get to Disney World, you need to take your voucher to the desk at the resort if you're staying on site at Disney World Resort or to guest relations before you enter the park. That's similar to how annual passes work. Before you can actually use them in the park, you have to take the voucher and officially activate them. But you can link them ahead of time to get fast passes. So I like them. They've been great to work with and very responsive. And I just like that you can get them immediately as opposed to waiting for a shipment. And as long as you remember that voucher step at your hotel, then you will be all set to go. And just a reminder that if you have a package discount, including free dining through Disney World, you have to get your tickets through Disney at their full prices. But if you want to do things a la carte, like making your room only reservation and then buying your ticket separately, then this is a company that you can use and save some money. So before we wrap up, I do have a quick tip of the day. So I spent this last week with lots of travel agents, and one of them said this tip, which was new to me, but perhaps it's not new to you, but I want to pass it on just in case. And this tip is that if you're going to check multiple bags when you fly, to check the heaviest bag first, because if it happens to be too heavy and you need to reallocate things in order to balance the weight out, then you will have a chance if your heaviest bag is there first, then you can put things in your second heaviest bag and balance it out. If you do a light bag first and then they toss it on the conveyor belt and then you put your heaviest one up, then there's a chance you won't have an opportunity to reallocate the weight and stay under the weight limit. So that is the tip for this week. I hope that is helpful to you. I think that'll wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode110. That is the numbers 110. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.